I'm Blake Hardcastle. This is the Stories You've Missed podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Stories You've Missed. These are accounts of God's amazing grace in the lives of ordinary people at Grand Parkway Baptist Church. My guest today is Jana McKee. She grew up in Port Neches, Texas. That's in Texas. And she studied at ETBU. Proud Tiger?
Yes, absolutely.
She was a former fifth grade teacher in Fort Bend ISD, and she's been married to Brian for 21 years. They have two children. They're a pool family, and you can often find them cheering their kids on in the water. And for the last 8 years, she has served as a children's pastor here at Grand Parkway. So welcome, Jana.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with explaining, what is a children's pastor?
Sure. So a children's pastor is the role that disciples and equips parents to help disciple their children.
Okay. You said parents.
Yes.
Not children. Now, say a little more about that. So that almost sounds like the children's pastors, one of their primary engagements is actually with the parents.
Sure. So it's easy to just focus on the kids on Sundays and Wednesdays, but we know that the parents are the ones that are with their kids day in and day out. And really, it's their example, what they're leading in their homes, that is going to be the most influential. And so we want to equip parents to be able to teach their kids these things that they believe to be true.
Is a parent the most influential theologian in the kid's life?
Absolutely. At least at this age, they are.
Yeah. As we were talking about this, I think in a lot of ways, my wife often functions as kind of the emergency room triage theologian, where my kids will, maybe complain about something or say something, and she's the one filtering it through in, less than a sentence of the scripture. That's common for parents. That should be how it is.
Absolutely. You're sitting in those carpool lines and you have that time with your kids together. So you have those moments to speak truth into their lives in the small moments and the big moments every single day.
Are parents able to say, I don't want to do that?
Well, sure, they can say that, okay. But if we want our kids to have a lasting faith, it has to extend beyond just bringing your kids to church on a Sunday morning.
Okay.
They're sharp. They're going to see through that. What kids do my know. Parents really believe about yeah. this? If we're not having those conversations, if they don't see what your faith means personally, then it isn't going to stick with them. In fact, there was a really great study a few years ago called Sticky Faith, and it was all about how to help faith stick with kids. And it talked about having family dinners together to have those conversations and praying with your kids, serving with your kids is really influential with having a lasting faith.
So a parent not having these conversations with their kid or intentionally, it's still happening. Even though we don't have it, they're getting the negative side of that.
Correct.
Or the void of that. Okay.
Yes.
What are some ways you remember in these last 8 years? What has God done here at Grand Parkway that you kind of got front row seats to?
Right.
You got to see him working behind the scenes before, veiled to everybody else. What have you seen him do in children's ministry?
Wow. God has been so good to the kids ministry over the last 8 years since I've been here. When I first began, Jen Pennington, Samantha Levine, and I all shared what is currently Wade's office. And so they were the preschool and child care directors, and I was over kids, and all of the kids, the elementary kids, met in what is currently the fellowship hall.
Now, we did this, you met in that, that office there, and the kids met in the fellowship hall.
Right.
Because
there was no kids building.
There was a time there was no kids building?
There was a time.
Right after the dinosaurs died off?
Exactly.
There was still,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So how did we possibly do kids ministry without a kids building?
It was a lot of work, so we had some faithful volunteers who had come up during the week and moved tables and chairs around from whatever had happened on Wednesday, Thursday, okay. Friday morning to rearrange the room. We had these dividing walls that we would extend
yeah.
between. We had like little mini pod classrooms, and we'd have one area where the kids would sing. But, we would have all these kids singing right behind the fellowship hall and being loud, and I think sometimes it probably interrupted service to some degree because we were right behind that wall.
Right.
I think one of the best things that happened was David Mertens began serving in kids ministry.
And who is David Mertens?
And David is an elder.
At
so when you
okay.
have an elder that sees the need for a kids building, things start moving.
Okay.
Whether that's
and
true
really,
or not.
If a lot of people had been serving, then a lot of people would have seen, okay, we need space. Yeah.
And of course, I think that they saw that the need was there. We had built the student building before that, and our church has always...
Students is 7th grade through 12th grade?
It's 5th grade.
5th grade through 12th grade, okay.
Correct. So they were meeting out at the warehouse, and the way that our church does things is that we believe in responsibly stewarding our finances. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to make sure that the warehouse had been paid down before they began the kids' building. So once we got to that point, we were able to start a kids' building. So I had been on staff about 3 months when they said, hey, we're going to build a kids' building. And I thought, oh, okay. So
this is still making sure you know what key goes in what door.
Exactly. Okay. And while we're at it, would you, you know, be picking out furniture and paint colors and all of that? So so that was a really big deal, but it was so incredible to get to walk through that process of having this space that was dedicated to kids. And even today, when people walk in that building, the comments that they say are just, wow, we can tell this church really cares about their kids, because it just shows it's warm and our volunteers are caring. And it's just a space that was created for them intentionally.
If someone in our church doesn't have children or hasn't been over to the kids' building, should they go look at it?
Yeah, we would love for you to come look at it. That would be great.
If someone goes and look at it, are they going to end up volunteering?
Well, we hope so, but we are not a hard sell. We believe that God has gifted all of us, and some is in kids' ministry and some are other places. Yeah. So if that is not your... But we would never want to move you there. But we always love to have volunteers and have a need for volunteers. Yeah. And so we would love to have you. If you're just curious about what it looks like, though, we would love to show you around, give you a glimpse of it. It is not babysitting. From the babies to the fourth graders, we share the gospel every single time those kids are there. So if you have a baby in the nursery, your babies are being prayed over while they're being rocked. And we have volunteers that go around and speak gospel gems to the preschoolers. They have a Bible that they hold, and they know that that's where their stories are from.
They begin learning the stories of the Bible. Yeah.
Yes. And then all the way up through fourth grade, where we just place so much importance and priority over the foundational truth of the Bible. Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the things that I have held strongly to my entire time here, is just wanting these kids to have a strong foundation so that when they leave kids ministry, no matter where they go, they understand that the God of the Bible loves them and never changes.
Yeah. And so spiritual formation, that isn't just happening for adults. This is happening from the cradle.
Right.
And in age-appropriate ways, in developmentally appropriate ways, seeding truth, and in ways they can, encouraging them, inviting them to believe and act on it.
Right.
Okay, that's exciting.
It's very exciting. Statistically, most people make a decision to follow Christ between the ages of 10 and 14. So we are planting those seeds that hopefully we see come to fruition. And we may not see that, but we know that God is at work.
Yeah. So you talked about a facility.
Yes.
What are some other things that God has done?
So I think one of the neatest things, just thinking back to the building, is when we were selecting things for the building, we were very intentional with it. And even, let me back up, just the diversity that our church offers is reflective of the county that we live in. We just have
diversity in ethnic background.
Correct. Yes. And I love that about our church. And I can remember meeting in the fellowship hall, which was a very, not dingy, but it was just not very vibrant space. And we're bringing these kids in here who are used to.
Plus, we kind of had to keep a little bit calm. We could be like, here's red and yellow and green. Get crazy, kids. Like,
right.
Everyone chill out, because we can't be having. How many were in that room at that time?
About 60.
Yeah, 60 kids going bonkers. Yeah.
Yes. And you know, that space was used for other things.
It wasn't
throughout
just kids.
The week. Yeah. So we couldn't have. Yeah. Have it decorated for us. And I can remember just being really worried, you know, just frustrated about it one day and hearing the Lord say, Jana, you're so worried about the colors on the walls, and you need to look at the color that is in this room right now. Just the look at the kids who are here. That's what you need to be focused on. And just the kids that He has brought into this space over and over again. And then continuing in God's grace, whenever we chose toys for the kids' building, I can remember being at Target and selecting dolls for the classroom. And I was so excited when I found a series of dolls that were from other countries. And so I chose a doll that was from Nigeria and one from Afghanistan. And I just prayed for the day that a little girl from Afghanistan would see a doll that looked like her and know that this was a space where she was welcome. And because of our partnership with the Afghan refugees recently, we have actually had children from Afghanistan in our building. And I just see God's grace in that from so many years ago of praying about the kids that he would bring into our space.
So you've gotten to see a little girl, play yes. with a doll mm-hmm. that you didn't just buy this last month. But
right. Yes.
Years
but in
ago.
2015.
15. And it's a great mercy from God. Absolutely. On a given Sunday, off the top of your head, mm-hmm. what ethnic backgrounds or nationalities would someone see in the kids' building?
You would see kids from Nigeria, from Cameroon, from Korea, from Taiwan, from China, from Mexico, from the United States. From all around. I feel like any child could walk in and feel like there's someone who looks similar to me.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a variety of volunteers also where there's someone standing up talking that also
yes.
looks like me. When you think about these years and obviously things God did that was spectacular, but you didn't always know what he was going to do and when he was going to do it and how he's going to do it. And so waiting and praying sometimes gets frustrating. Or what are some things that aren't true that you've had to fight against either from your own brain or from the enemy?
I think one thing is that it depends on me out there.
Keep talking about that.
So that there's a lot of pressure for what it should and could look like. And that if I don't do this, 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 and this, then it will fall apart, which absolutely is not true. And I know that going out, I think I've had some volunteers who may feel that way about me as well, because they will say, what are we going to do without you? And I say the same thing you did last week. This place will run without me just fine, because it does not depend on me. It depends on the mercy of God. And so when I first started, I had a really hard time sleeping on Saturday nights because I was so worried about, would volunteers show up on Sunday? Mm-hmm. Would everything be in place? Would the fellowship hall have been set up the night before? Mm-hmm. What would I be walking into?
Yeah.
And over the years, I've been able to just turn that over to the Lord and know that it doesn't depend on me. And there has never been a single Sunday where we have had to turn away a kid because we've not been able to have enough rooms open for them.
Even though all these things you've mentioned have happened at times,
right.
volunteers and rooms,
sure.
we've never had to say, I'm sorry, we can't,
right.
you can't come back here.
One of the most beautiful things is on the days that I'm most concerned about what volunteers, maybe we've had a lot that have had canceled the last minute, especially over COVID. But even before that, those are the particular days that we would have adults walk in and say, do you need another volunteer today? Mm. And there's no other way to explain that other than them following in obedience to the Lord to come and help us.
Does God care about kids ministry?
Of course.
Or kids?
Yes.
Of course he does.
Yes. Yes. And we see that modeled in Jesus. He says, let the little children come. And he doesn't want anyone to be a hindrance. And so and we're to have faith like a child. And when you see the faith that these kids have, you understand what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned about this doesn't depend on me. That sounds like something that isn't just unique to you or kids ministry, children's pastoring, but maybe to people.
Sure.
Are there other areas where you see that, because you've experienced learn that there, this bleeds over to this also doesn't depend on me. This also doesn't depend only on me. This also doesn't depend only on me.
Yes. I think along with that comes the desire to look a certain way or to, I'm trying to say this the right way, but wanting to look like I have my act together.
Okay.
So it doesn't depend on me. And also I want to look sufficient. And so I can see that in the past of just how I have been as a teacher, and I was MOPS director before then, mm-hmm. and just this need to be sufficient. And so in that, I can see in marriage and in mm-hmm. parenting that it doesn't depend on me. It can't only depend on me. I have a partner
yeah.
in my marriage. I have a partner in parenting, but ultimately the Lord is our compass. Mm-hmm. So it depends on Him.
Yeah. You know, that's so helpful what you're saying, that when we get into a pattern of this depends on me, we're kind of upstaging God.
Right.
And jumping in way and trying to take his spotlight, which is going to end up on us, you know, falling flat on our face. But we don't get to see him as the hero. We kind of got our
exactly.
back turned to him.
Yes.
Anything else come to mind as far as you guys, everyone, you know, not everyone's been here for this long. Some people are new to our mm-hmm. congregation. Mm-hmm. And what else do they need to know? You guys need to know this is what God did. You need to know this is what God did.
So, you know, I think that I could sit here and list off the great things that we have done over my time here. I was reflecting on it this morning, just really fun things that we've done along the way. During COVID, we had a drive through Carnival, which okay. was really cool, where the families came through and did stations. And so, you know, we tried to always equip parents during the hard times and the good times. I just also think back to just the times I had to walk with families in tragedy, okay. Death of a parent, mm-hmm. Divorce, abuse, just the trauma that they've mm-hmm. had to endure, and just getting to see and walk with them during those times that God is at work in the families around us. I mentioned the faith of kids earlier too. It just really is sweet to see their innocence mm-hmm. and their belief that they have. And one of my favorite things that I get to do is lead kids through a new believers class. And okay. I just finished up our last session last night, but it's a 3-week class where we talk about what does it mean to be a Christian? What is the Lord's Supper? What is baptism? Yeah. How do I pray? How do I read my Bible? And yeah. so just giving these kids these foundations again. But you know, there's so many ways every day that God has shown his mercy and his grace out there with the kids, but there always is something new that they're mm-hmm. those kids are teaching us, mm-hmm. and we just want to just pour into them so that they yeah. can leave our building, leave our ministry, and go. And you know, we teach the kids that there's no junior Holy Spirit. They have the same Holy Spirit in them that Paul had in him.
Say that one more time.
There's no junior Holy Spirit.
Okay, kids don't get
there's no baby Holy Spirit. And so yeah. we want to empower them that they can go and make disciples just like adults yeah. can.
Huh. I'm letting that absorb. That's so good. If any of us were to go over there on a Sunday, what's something or one or two things we might be surprised that I didn't know it was like this?
Sure.
What would the singing catch us off guard? What would
maybe
what surprise
we
us?
So
things that you're so used to, like
right.
I get this all the time.
I know. So we do sing. We sing songs that you might hear in worship. Sometimes Clyde comes over and leads worship with the kids, and it is precious to hear 70 kids singing King of my heart, you know, and so these kids know how to worship. So that might surprise you that
yeah.
these kids
yeah.
know how to worship the Lord. These kids are faithful to bring their Bible, more faithful than a lot of adults possibly are. I know we have our phones. I do that as well. But these kids are faithful to do that. I mentioned earlier, it's not babysitting, that these kids are walking through the Bible chronologically. Yeah. We started in Genesis, so we are moving through and teaching them. So we are really intentional about the spiritual formation of these yeah. kids. And it's a fun place to serve. We
yeah.
do it in a fun way.
If a person maybe is, you know, has been a believer for a year or two, or a few years, or maybe mm-hmm. a little longer, but they really haven't, you know, they didn't grow up going to church.
Sure.
They missed a lot of the stories. Would serving as, you know, a helper, a teacher, would that be a way to learn?
Absolutely.
What the Bible says?
Yes, we've had quite a few teachers. In fact, we've had parents who start serving because their kids are asking questions that they don't know the answers to. Mm. And they say, I want to come learn. And we say, come on, come help in a classroom.
Yeah.
And then they grow because they are learning as well. It's written on a level that young kids can understand. So there's not a lot of things that you might miss. So it's written at a level
that's
exactly. Yeah. And it's a great way to learn. Yeah.
So someone has doesn't have an extensive familiarity with the Bible, this is a way to learn it, and it's probably a little more fun.
Yes.
At least the rooms are more fun. what do you want parents to know about kids?
So your kids are listening to everything. They're listening to the things that you're telling them. They're listening to the things that you're not telling them. They're listening to the things that they are overhearing. And even if they don't want to lean into those faith conversations right now, keep having them, keep pressing in, because they are listening and taking it in. Sometimes it's not comfortable because they don't really know the answers. So don't push them to expect much, but don't stop talking just because it's uncomfortable.
I think many parents have experienced, you may be talking to someone else, your spouse, and the kid from the next room or the back seat goes, what about so-and-so? You're like, that's not for, how did you hear that? You can't hear your name when I, you know, but so to your point, they are listening. They are receiving. What do you want parents to know about God as a parent and their role?
As a parent, that your child's salvation does not, again, depend on you. Hmm. That the Lord is the one who is going to draw your kids in, and he certainly will use you to do so, but the pressure's off.
The pressure is off.
Yes.
Parents can relax.
Yes. Be intentional. That doesn't mean disengage your kids, but your child's salvation does not depend on you. So keep pressing in, but trust that the Lord is going to work in their hearts.
Mm. What do you want parents to know about Grand Parkway?
I want parents to know that your kids are loved so much and so well, and that we want your kids to know Jesus. If your kids never remember my name, I'm way okay with that. I just want them to know who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm. There might be some kids who listen to this. I don't know. What would you want to say to kids? And maybe some kids who you know you and you know them, but it might be kids who don't know you yet, or maybe haven't been in our church yet at some point come and hear this.
Sure.
What do kids need to know?
About Jesus?
I don't know. Yeah.
That there's so much to say. There's so much to say about Jesus, but he loves you and he is for you and he is worth following.
Is that hard for a kid to imagine or to accept?
I think that it's pretty easy when the kids around them believe that.
Okay.
I think as they get older and not everyone believes that, it gets a lot more challenging. And so we don't sugarcoat it with the kids. I want them to know that it is not easy being a Christian, but the rewards are eternal and worth it. And so if I can remind them that, then hopefully they will hold on to that when the people around them aren't. And it's just going to get harder and harder for our kids as they walk this, that what we believe is not going to be accepted. And Jesus promised us that.
Yeah. Did you always want to be a children's pastor?
You know, I never imagined until God called me.
When you were a kid, when you were a child going to church, what did you think you were going
to
do?
Well, I wanted to be a teacher.
Okay.
And I got to do that.
Right.
And then I stepped away from it and to have children. And the Lord called me to this and I never imagined it, but it has been such an incredible blessing. It has just been a joy. And I have learned so much myself about the Lord during this time. And I can see how God worked all along the way in my childhood and adulthood to get me to this point. I can look back and go, he was preparing me.
Yeah.
He was preparing me. And people ask what's next for me, and I tell them, I don't know. But that's okay, because the Lord will show me what that is when it's the right time, and I can trust him with that.
Yeah. What have you learned about yourself in these last year, these last 8 years of working here?
I mentioned it earlier that my sufficiency is not the most important thing. I've certainly learned to depend on the Lord a lot more. I've learned grace. I've not been a perfect children's pastor by any stretch. I've had conversations with parents where I've had to had hard conversations and things I've thought back now, like, I probably would have made a different decision. Mm. That probably wasn't the best way to handle that. Mm-hmm. But the Lord is so gracious to us.
Mm-hmm. It makes up for our deficiencies.
Exactly.
Pastor.
Yes.
As you think about kids ministry or children's ministry, what would you like to see, or what do you think God is in God's heart for our kids 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now?
Yeah. I'm so thankful that Krista is the one stepping into.
Krista Hood?
Yes. Krista Hood was the preschool pastor, and she's going to be taking over as the children's pastor.
How long has she been doing that?
She's been here for about 5 years.
Five of the 8 years.
Yes.
And you guys just tolerated each other?
We work so well together. It has just been such an incredible blessing to have worked with all of the women that I've worked with. We've just always gotten along so well. And what I love about my relationship with Krista is that we've been so like-minded mm-hmm. in our desire to help kids and their families. And so it makes it easy to step away knowing that she will continue with what I've been doing. And so I think that my desire is for these kids to continue to build that foundation that I've mentioned several times, is that when times get hard, they know that the Lord is with them. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we say every single Sunday is a Bible promise. And we just say that we believe that it's true and it doesn't change. And when what we believe doesn't match that, we're the ones who need to change, because God doesn't. And I want them to remember that when they get to high school,
yeah,
that I don't get to decide what I like and don't like about the Bible, but that this is true. Mm. So I just want to see these kids continuing to grow in their faith and to love their neighbors and to just grow up to be men and women of faith.
Yeah. As you we're kind of on the very end of the off ramp here, you know, maybe some weeks remaining.
Right.
Are you grieving?
So, yes. But I also know it's the right time and season. It's been hard. It's also been busy. Okay. We are getting ready for Holy Week, and yes. So there's just a lot that goes into that in
kids
building,
do something.
Too.
It's not just parents.
That's right.
Easter's for kids, too?
Easter's for kids, too. We don't do the bunny rabbit. We let you take care of that at home.
Okay.
But yes, yeah, so Holy Week is busy for us, getting ready for that. So it's been busy with transition, but it's also been hard as I've been, you know, like I mentioned, the last New Believer class, my last midweek class with the kids, just thinking about it in terms of last ones. And so it's hard, but I also know that I'm still going to be around. So it's not the same as if I were moving to another state. So I know that I will still be here.
Right.
So that helps.
A kid can still see you and say hi to you.
Absolutely.
I
hope they
do. You're not dead to them now.
Exactly.
Okay. This experience of yours of God calling you to be a children's pastor and you, getting front row seats to seeing God work, but also him, put your hand to the plow and you work and I'll do the greater work. How would you explain this to a 10-year-old?
I think I would explain it as God is going to equip you for what he calls you to. So you just need to be ready to answer his call. Sometimes it's what you expect, and sometimes it's not what you expect. Our job is to just say yes when he calls.
Mm. You mentioned the Bible promises you guys review. Mm-hmm. What is one or two of those come to mind that it's good for adults to hear as well?
The truths of the Bible.
Yeah, these things are true.
Right. I think that the world would say, I am enough, And we need to know that Jesus is enough, that we can't do it.
The world says we're enough.
Right.
Our experience tells us, we're not quite.
Or, God won't give me more than I can handle. Well, no, sometimes he does, and we have to depend on Jesus to get through it.
Yeah.
So, but we have to know what the Bible says. We have to know what the Bible says about loving others. We have to know what the Bible says about attending church. You know, it might be, it says, you know, not to get a habit of not meeting together. And so we need to be consistent in coming and not just, you know, oh, I want to sleep in today. And, and our kids pick up on that. Like I mentioned before, if that's our attitude, then our kids learn that as well. Yeah.
When do kids begin to be curious about what happens in, I'll call it big church, you know, what their parents go to?
Well, I think anytime kids can't, you know, don't do something, it's kind of a mystery and it's, they want to see what it is. They're curious because we even have, you know, 2 and 3 year olds that will be crying because their parents are separated from them and they want to be with them. But as for actually what's happening in it, about the time that they're in elementary school, they're ready to.
They're curious.
Yes.
Yeah, and ready. And they can understand for the most part what's.
So they may not fully understand, but that's okay. I would imagine there was a time you probably didn't understand fully when you sat in it. You know, we all do it. But the more we do it, the more we do it consistently, the more we will understand. And so they may not understand everything that's being preached in the sermon, but they understand the rhythm of it. Yeah. They understand coming in and singing together. And then now is where we read our Bible. And this is when we pray together. And so they're learning the rhythms of it. And then eventually they'll be able to grasp the deeper meaning of it.
Yeah. Have you gotten to experience where maybe a kid enters your ministry, is it around 5 years old, 6 years old?
Yes.
And then they leave it around 11 or 12, where a difference in them between 5 and 6, 11 and 12. Have you gotten to observe that happen?
I have.
That always happened, Blake? What are you talking about?
No,
that's what a kid
is. I have. I had one kid who would try to flee the building. We had a runner, so we would have to keep an eye on him to make sure. And then when it came time to move to the bridge, Miss Jana, I don't want to go out there. I just want to stay here.
I don't want to run. I'm not running anymore.
Yes. Because this is a place where he felt safe.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of our kids experience is that. So, but of course, you know, I've seen the Lord work in their hearts, just in the questions they ask, what they understand, what they believe to be true, and just their heart for others. I love that we have quite a few teens that come back and serve every Sunday.
Oh. Now, how does that happen? What does that look like?
So they serve every other week, and then during the 10:30 service.
Okay.
So they would go to student ministry at 9 and then come serve, and they are our small group leaders in the classrooms. And so they will have a group of boys or group of girls that they are just, you know, reviewing the Bible story, asking them questions. What does this teach me about God? What does this teach me about myself? What does this look like to live it out in the week? And so kids that have walked through our ministry are now coming back to serve in our ministry.
When you see that, what kind of feelings well up in you?
Again, it's just God's graciousness to be able to be a part of that, to see these kids. And again, it's not so much anything that I did. You know, most of these are from families that they have learned and made it important for their kids as well. And so, but it's just the opportunity to come do it. And so just seeing their family's faithfulness and the fruit of it.
Mm-hmm. I remember Clyde, when you let the staff know, okay, this was next for me. He, I wouldn't say he's angry, but he was like sad. I'm sad that my kids are not all going to get to experience Miss Jana.
Yeah.
How do you receive that?
I love those kids so much that is absolutely the hardest part about stepping away. I'm so grateful that the Lord has allowed me to do this for the last 8 years. And so knowing that I'm not going to get to be invested in some of these kids' lives is very sad. But I also know that I'm walking in obedience for what the Lord has told me. And so I have a peace about it, but I'm also sad, Clyde.
And all other parents, you feel this way.
All other parents,
yeah, I'm sad too.
Yes, yes.
But as you said before, it still doesn't depend on me.
Right.
For you, you mentioned a couple times, I know it's what God's leading me, walk in obedience. Is it too strong a language to say, for me to stay would be disobeying God?
No, I've had to say that to myself and to others, that you don't want me here because that's not what's best for Grand Parkway.
We don't want someone disobedient running this thing.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. All Jonahs need not apply. So after the fish.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Yeah. So it's very difficult, but also know to stay would maybe make me feel a little bit better, but would not be the right thing for our kids or the families of Grand Parkway.
Are there other people in our congregation who have gifts to minister to kids and even kind of what you're describing, this great emotional empathy and care and enjoyment of them? Mm-hmm. And maybe they don't even know it yet?
I think so. I think a lot of times people have a certain idea of what volunteering in kids ministry looks like.
What do they think that is? Let's correct some falsehoods right now.
Well, I think maybe they think that it's changing a lot of diapers, if that's with preschoolers or crying babies or rowdy kids.
Picking up drop goldfish.
Yes. Yeah, there actually is some of that. But we have nice little sweepers to help you with
it.
Okay, yes. Yes, rowdy kids, disrespectful kids, and that's just not the case. So we, these kids are in school all week long. Mm-hmm. They know how to handle a classroom situation, and that flows over to our classrooms. And so, you know, we have fun, and, you know, we have no detention. It's not like we have something to hold over them, but they're just
good kids.
If
you're a runner,
kids.
You don't go to the principal's office.
Exactly. They are good kids, and we do what we can to equip the teachers. So we give the lesson to you. We have the supplies ready in your classroom. So when you walk in, it's ready to go.
Yeah.
We want you to be prepared for it, of course. So there's some investment in your part of it. But it is, we try to make it as easy as possible for you to have exactly what you need to walk in and have a successful day with these kids.
And so someone listening to this, they should contact Krista at grandparkway.org.
Yes. Or just kids at grandparkway.org.
Or kids at grandparkway.org. Yes. Great. I don't remember the source of this, but I remember an author writing that when something that's good comes to a termination point, there's a grieving. And the grieving is proof that this actually was good, but really it's proof God was good for letting us enjoy it.
Yes.
And so the grieving points like a big neon sign. Once again, let's not upstage God. Look how good he was. Thank you for sitting down and having this conversation. I want to thank you on behalf of our congregation for being obedient to God the last 8 years and being obedient now and being an example, maybe a last final lesson to the kids. Mm-hmm. We obey God whenever and however he leads us.
Thank you. It's been a joy.
I want to thank you for listening. And if you've enjoyed this conversation, do us a favor and give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. This makes the program easier for others to find. Also, do yourself a favor and subscribe to this podcast so that you'll be the first to know when we release new episodes. If you have suggestions for other stories, you can contact me, Blake, at grandparkway.org. These are the stories you've missed.